You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Each Friday, most Fridays, we get an opportunity to get an update from the Heritage Foundation, and Genevieve Wood joins us once again. Genevieve, how's your week going?
It's going well. Happy Friday to you and your listeners.
Yeah, ready for a weekend and ready to jump into a couple of stories found on dailysignal.com. And the first of which deals with an employee on Facebook, and after spending time there, finding herself, without a job.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a woman in Virginia Beach who was a hairstylist, worked at a hair salon. And this is a free speech issue, as is the other story that we'll talk about. She'd been there, I think, almost 2 years and had said nothing in the workplace. She told the story, she talks about the fact that, you know, she didn't expect most of her coworkers to probably appreciate her Christian faith or maybe views on things, but that she just, you know, she had not really said anything. But in her private life, just a couple of weeks ago, she did a post on Facebook where she basically called out, you know, both Disney Plus, the digital media platform, for the types of programs that they were promoting to children that she thought were very pro, you know, LGBTQ plus, you know, give all the initials. And also the fact that that movement as a whole was using the rainbow, which we know as Christians was God's promise to Noah and to those after that he would never again flood the earth and destroy the earth with the flood. And the fact that she's like, you know, they're using that symbol to represent something that the Bible speaks out against. And she put this on her Facebook post. And it was very clear what she believed, but she didn't, you know, ask anybody. It had nothing to do with her hair salon or her job. It was completely her private views on these matters. And the owner of the salon, I guess, texted her on a one day and a Saturday and said, hey, we want you to take this down because this doesn't represent the kind of hair salon that we are, even though she wasn't writing on behalf of the hair salon. I don't even think she mentioned where she worked in the post. And because she didn't take it down, she was fired the next day. Said, come get your things. We'll have them for you. So, you know, look, this is a private salon. They have a right to, you know, hire and fire who they would like. But the only reason they can get away with something like this is because they think the public is so on their side in terms of, you know, calling something just because you speak out your faith and they think that's hate speech. They think the public will go along with them on it. And so therefore that was that story. And it's unfortunate because I think anybody can picture themselves. You may not work in ministry. Maybe you just work at, I don't know, Starbucks, or you work at a hardware store, wherever you happen to work, and you post something on your Facebook page or Instagram, you know, any social platform that perhaps your employer doesn't like it, doesn't like what you say, has nothing to do with the business. They can fire you for it. And then increasingly, we're in a culture where people aren't allowed to express their views, especially if they're on the Christian side of the fence, or if they tend to be more conservative. You're getting in troublesome waters these days.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't catch. I did read most of that story. Do we know what state that was in?
She was in Virginia Beach, Virginia Beach, Virginia, which, by the way, is the home of the Christian Broadcasting Network. I'm sure many of your listeners know. Pat Robertson died earlier this week, but this is his hometown and a place that has a very large Christian community. So this wasn't New York City. You know, once again, this wasn't San Francisco. This was Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yeah. And did the employer actually come and say, because you said this, you're fired?
Yes. But she texted her on the day that she, after she had not taken down the post and said, you know, we're firing you for insubordination. I asked you to take down this statement. It doesn't represent our company. And so therefore we've asked you to take it down. You didn't. And so therefore I've been no left choice, but to fire you. Now, again, her post had nothing to do with her job. I don't think it mentioned at all where she worked. It didn't make any mention of her boss or anything along those lines, but her particular boss and the owner of the firm said that she called her comments about about the fact that the LGBTQ community uses the rainbow as their symbol, and that she did not think that was right because it was truly a Christian symbol. And that she went after Disney Plus or some of the program they had against children. She, her own, the owner of her hair salon, said those comments were homophobic and did not represent their company well. So, you know, clearly the owner of the salon has very different views than yeah. this young woman who's a hairstylist. But nonetheless, it's like, why does that have to be, you know, what, you know, I'm sure there's some Christians who go to that salon, and I'm sure there's probably maybe some gay people who work there. That doesn't mean that they can't all do business together, right? Like, it just, the idea is that you have a group now who says, we don't want to live in community. This whole idea that we, you know, toleration and go along, get along, they don't really believe that. You're not allowed to say out loud what you believe if they don't like it. They're right. willing to take your job away to try to punish you for it.
Right. Yeah, it's a, well, it's the world we're living in. And I think it's important that we recognize what she did, because I've heard from so many leaders in the Christian community lately that are saying things along the lines of, you know, the LGBTQ community is making it clear where they stand on things. It's time we did too.
I think that was part of this young lady's, you know, her point was that yeah. she's like, you know, for a long time I haven't said anything, but I'm surrounded about, you know, by it, probably at her office. I mean, she didn't say that, but I'm assuming in her workplace, she did say that the beauty industry, the hair industry, hair salon industry is kind of caught up in the whole woke movement. And she said, you know, I just felt like I needed to take a stand for what I believe. She didn't do it in her workplace. It wasn't like she put a sign up at her station so that all the customers came through, saw this. She put it on her private Facebook page.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with her job. And so again, this is not about, you know, she wasn't doing her job well. This wasn't about, oh, did she offend some of her, you know, some of her clients. To my knowledge, there was no report that anybody had called and said, you need to take action. This really offends me. But this is an attempt to say, no matter where you are, this isn't about just being in my space and I don't like you saying it over here. It's no, we don't want you to say it out loud anywhere,
yeah.
anywhere in the public square if we disagree with it.
Well, it is not a unique situation, and it's something we're going to see more and more of. And like I said, good on her for, it seems gently enough, sharing what she believed. It didn't seem like a nasty post. It didn't, but be prepared. And not that I wish harm or discomfort to the body of Christ and the church. For those that stand up and are persecuted, which this seems to be a situation where someone's being persecuted for their faith, but the church flourishes in persecution, and it's going to be interesting to see as things progress in this landscape that we're in the midst of, where it ends up. And this, again, not a unique story. There's another not exactly like this, but another instance where what people believe is trying to be controlled by those who believe something else.
Right, and not just control, but you know, saying again, you can't speak. There's a case in Washington State. This is actually where you've got a Christian counselor, like a, you know, somebody, whether it's marriage counseling, teenage counseling, so forth. He's a Christian counselor. And the state of Washington has come out. Now, the Supreme Court recently had ruled that the government can't say, well, this speech is okay and this is not, right? You can't say to someone, I don't like your speech, and therefore you can't say it. The government can't do that. So Washington State has come out and said that with this counselor and other Christian counselors, anybody, if somebody comes to you and has an issue with, say, gender dysphoria, you're not allowed to talk to them about how that may not be right or how that may be wrong or that what their feelings are not appropriate. Now, keep in mind, many Christians were coming to this man because he offered biblical counseling. Many of them, I'm assuming, were Christians or wanted that type of counseling and were like, I'm having struggling. Came in and said, you can't do that. Now, we can't say that that's speech, but we're going to say that what you're doing is a violation of like conduct, professional conduct standards. So they're changing free speech, and now they're wanting to take what is free speech and say, well, we're going to now name it conduct so that we can go after that. And they're going to try to do this with a lot of pregnancy resource centers around the country saying, you know, because you won't talk about abortion, the option of abortion in your clinics, that's violating professional conduct rules. Now, of course, they don't make Planned Parenthood tell about all the other things you can do besides abortion, but they want to come to these pregnancy resource centers and make them promote abortion as an option. And the fact that they won't do it, they're saying, well, that's, we can't impose speech on you, but we can impose conduct standards on you. So again, and this is the government, and you're seeing this happening, you know, a lot of the state level, Washington State, New York, Massachusetts, you're seeing these kind of cases pop up. So the first one we talked about is in the private sector, but this is the government coming in and trying to say what counselors and the like can and can't do, or Christian businesses can't or can't do. And again, you know, this is the kind of thing, Steve, this will gain momentum if people don't stand up and fight it. Because as it gains momentum, you have fewer and fewer people who are willing to stand up because they're worried about their job. They're worried about, you know, will I be able to keep my business? And so the more people that don't stand up now, believe me, it will only get harder a year from now, 5 years from now, as they try to roll over everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So this, the second story was a circumstance, and it was the Supreme Court you mentioned was the Supreme Court of the United States of America, right? Not a.
That's right. Okay. That's correct. That's correct.
And then a state government passed law to circumvent what the court in Washington, the Supreme Court, had made judgment on.
It was the state legislatures. It was the Washington State, the state legislators. They passed a law that restricts counselors, not just this man, but restricts all counselors in their state from trying to help people who are struggling with gender dysphoria. Okay. So in other words, they want to say gender dysphoria doesn't really exist, that, you know, to tell somebody that they, you know, think that they're a man and they may want to be a woman, you can't counsel them that's wrong.
Okay, so this,
even though that person may want that counseling, right?
Yeah,
that's what's crazy,
right? Yeah, and they even said in the story, many of which, or most of which, go to him voluntarily for his. I want to make a connection here. Is in past conversations, we've talked about the importance of voting, the importance of being involved in election, more specifically local elections, because it's those smaller local elections that often. Whether it's a school board or, you know, your local, you know, House representative or House or state senator, that local leadership is every bit, if not more important than what we're voting for every 4 years in the White House. And we've
That's
talked
right.
about it on our conversations during Heritage Update. As well as several times recently having people on to talk about the current proposed referendum and petitions that are being signed to basically undo six laws that were recently passed in the roundhouse in the legislative session here in New Mexico. So all of that being said, talks about involvement. And what does that mean? That does mean voting. That means communicating with your legislator to let them know where you stand on these issues. And Christian, yes, it does mean get on your knees and pray. And in the midst of all of it, continue to share the love of Christ. Want the best for every single person in the conversation. So, if you don't flex these muscles, atrophy sets in. So it's something I think that we all need to practice. Practice makes permanent. I appreciate the stories that are made available the work that's being done at Heritage Foundation and Daily Signal. It's dailysignal.com, by the way, and heritage.org for coverage on many of the topics we cover here. But Genevieve, thank you for the education for some. And the encouragement really, to really have our finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Well, thank you again, as always, for talking about and giving the platform, and just, you know, for people to know, it's what's great is in the sense that these are stories. This is not, you know, talking points or propaganda or what have you coming out of some political point. This just is telling the stories of what's happening in different places around the country. Unfortunately, there's more and more of them. I mean, every week there's more of these stories that we report on. But people do need to know, and I just would encourage you to share it with your neighbors, share it with friends, so that more people understand what's going on. And hopefully more people will have the courage and the willingness, as you say, in love, to stand up and stand for Christ and stand for what's right.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much, Genevieve Wood with the Heritage Foundation. Let's do this again next week.
Let's do it.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And do tune in every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and then Fridays for the update from Heritage Foundation. Still one more segment to come. We have our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran of John Moore Associates next on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome to our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran at John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com on the web. Brian, welcome back onto the broadcast.
Yeah, good to be here again.
I know last time we talked a little bit about the amount of money that's going to be transferred to the next generation. And I think the number we landed on what was somewhere between $80 and $100 trillion.
Yeah, that's trillion with a T. That is a big number.
Big number, big topic, well worth revisiting. And we have some more to talk about on that subject today. What concerns or encouragement maybe might you have?
Well, I think that's always a good place to start and ask, you know, what does Scripture have to say about inheritance? And in Proverbs, it says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, so grandchildren. And what the statistics show is we're not very good at that in our society. So only about 70% of wealth will survive the second generation. So if I'm successful in accumulating wealth, my children, only about 70% is lost. So most of the second generation will not maintain that wealth. And 90% of it is lost in the third generation. So the Bible is telling us to leave an inheritance for our children's children, and the vast majority of the time, that is not happening.
Well, Brian, what are some steps we can take to better prepare for that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it kind of spins off what we talked about last week, this idea of empowering the next generation to be wise stewards. And you do that through the teaching of these principles that we talk about on a regular basis here, biblical principles of money management, contentment, generosity, really not letting money rule your heart. And if you start there, that's a good place to begin. But then you also have to teach the more worldly and technical aspects of finance, you know, saving for their retirement, managing their taxes wisely. There's things we can teach, principles we can teach, not just when our children are little, but as they get older, helping them as young adults to be wise with their money so that when they do receive an inheritance, they're not learning all those lessons with money they just received from you. They've already managed their own wealth wisely and proven themselves as wise stewards before receiving an inheritance.
Now, at a really young age, what's a really, not just, you know, inside the four walls of your home, but maybe outside of the home, introducing children and grandchildren to advisors that, you know, that if, I mean, I never did, I never, we always did our finances by ourselves. And, mm-hmm. and I just wonder, even at a young age, I know that a lot of parents and grandparents are like, well, our finances are our business. But even to go to an advisor with whatever small amount, a child is earning at a part-time job, or I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a couple good principles there. The first, you talked about our money is our business. Well, keeping the biblical worldview of it's not our money, it's God's money. And so I'm stewarding God's resources, and I need to teach the next generation of stewards. It's not just our business. And so a couple ways that you can introduce children, though, is, you know, for our practice, one thing we do for our clients is we offer to do a money 101 meeting with typically late teens to mid 20s children who are, like you said, starting to earn a little income. Maybe they're before college or after college, maybe they're starting their first career. And in that meeting, we'll go through their employer benefits. We'll talk about some financial principles. We talk about what we teach and what we've talked about here on the station of live, give, owe, grow, the allocation of your resources and how your money moves into those different buckets, those different categories, if you will, and how to balance those categories and prioritize their finances properly. And, you know, it kind of starts with that head knowledge, and then they need to start to practice. And what we find is a lot of even our really financially successful clients in their 50s and 60s will say, you know, gosh, if I just known all this in my 20s and 30s, I could have gotten off to such a better start. And it's not that you'll be perfect or you won't ever make a mistake with money if you know these things, because, you know, we're a fallen group, right? We sin, we make mistakes. But overall, if people have good understanding of the basics of finance, they're at least in a better position to start making good decisions.
Well, I love that idea of the simple, you know, finances 101, to, you know, not only with the family, the thought occurred to me, a homeschool co-op, walk through that as a group. We as a group of New Mexicans, if we all had better, biblical ways of handling the resources God provides for us, you know, as a community, we would see improvement. But some great ideas. Brian, on the website at johnmoore.com, we almost always remind the listener about the Insights tab, a free resource to go and get this information. And some of what we're talking about, the legacy money shifting from this generation to the next couple of generations, that's something that you'll be covering there. Is that right?
Right. Just in the next couple of days, we're going to be posting a 3-part video series on preparing the next generation. And in that, we'll talk about how to prepare for caring for aging loved ones, more on the healthcare side. We'll also talk about, in a second session, what it's like to be an estate executor or a trustee, the person who's in charge of transferring the wealth from one generation to the next. And then third, we're going to talk about a lot of what we discussed today. How do you prepare wise stewards so that you know that your wealth will be properly managed, or you do everything in your power to ensure that can be properly managed? So each of those, I think, will be valuable. And each video is about 30 minutes long, so there's a lot of good content there. And we invited a couple of local experts in different fields to help, discuss that and share best practices.
All right. Well, I appreciate John Moore Associates and, of course, Brian, your time weekly to come on and touch on timely subjects with us, as well as subjects that'll be with us, have been with us and will continue to be with us. I also want to make sure that our listeners know that although we spend just a few minutes each Friday getting our Friday financial update from John Moore Associates and Brian Cochran, Brian, Friday the 30th of June, we'll be spending a full hour on ABQ Connect going over various topics.
Absolutely. I think we'll go deeper into this concept and share more of those best practices. Should be a really good conversation.
All right. Look forward to having you on at that time. And of course, next week again for our Friday financial update, 10 minutes or so, but that full show on June 30th. Brian, have a great weekend, and thanks again for joining us.
It's always my pleasure.
And with that, we appreciate all of you tuning in for ABQ Connect and hope you have a blessed weekend. And join us every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock, connecting in our community on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.